Good afternoon, 4:30 and 81 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
They grew up in an age that was more trusting. If someone had your phone number, they knew you. And that if somebody called from your area code, they were probably someone that you know.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says scam artists are targeting seniors in Kentucky because they may be more vulnerable than others.
An Ashland man is charged with murder following a pre-dawn shooting in Round County.
And forums are scheduled on the Moorhead State campus next week to talk about the school's projected $2.5 million budget deficit.
In sports, the first-place Reds are in Pittsburgh tonight to open a three-game series with the Pirates.
But Luke has the stocks.
Clear this evening, lows around 57 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
An Ashland man is in custody following a fatal shooting early this morning in Rowan County. Kentucky State Police say 40-year-old Randy Parmley turned himself in to the Moorhead Post shortly after he admitted shooting Kenneth Fulton in Fulton's home on Leaning Tree Way. The 42-year-old victim was pronounced dead around 1:15 at St. Clair Regional Medical Center. Sergeant Brian Evans is with the KSP. He spoke with WKYT.
It doesn't happen very often. A lot of times, maybe 2 or 3 days later, they would turn themselves in after an investigation. But normally, they're not the first to call in or stop in and give a description of the incident of what's occurred at that time.
Parmley has been charged with murder. He's held in the Rowan County Detention Center.
A 39-year-old Flemingsburg man is charged with attempted murder after his wife was stabbed multiple times in the chest. The Maysville Ledger-Independent is reporting that Dale Duncan was taken into custody Friday following an incident at the family's home on Helena Road. 38-year-old Dana Duncan is said to have had secured an emergency protection order against her husband March 22nd. She was airlifted to the UK Medical Center. Flemingsburg Police Chief Brian Bowling says Dale Duncan was taken into the hospital for treatment of self-inflicted knife wounds. Once released, he is expected to be incarcerated in the Mason County Detention Center.
West Liberty Police and the Morgan County Sheriff's Department are asking for help in locating a 29-year-old woman who has not been seen since March 28th. The family of Carrie Burgett reported her missing on April the 6th. According to WKYT, there's been no indication of foul play, but anyone with information on the missing woman is asked to call the Morgan Sheriff for West Liberty Police. Her family says Carrie Burgett was last seen in West Liberty.
A Dayton, Ohio area man has been sentenced to 15 years in prison after being convicted of an armed robbery at the Super 8 Hotel in the Rosemont community of Portsmouth. According to the Portsmouth Daily Times, a Scioto County Common Pleas Court jury deliberated about 2 hours before finding 29-year-old Toby Lamb guilty of aggravated robbery with a firearm specification. Prosecutors claim Lamb pointed a semi-automatic handgun at a hotel clerk and then led police on a high-speed chase following the October 2015 robbery.
An 18-year-old woman is recovering in a hospital after falling off a cliff in the Red River Gorge Saturday. WYMT is reporting that the unidentified teen fell 35 to 50 feet off a ledge along Martin's Fork Trail. The accident was reported just before 4 p.m. Lisa Johnson is with the Powell County Search and Rescue Squad. She says the woman was standing too close to the edge and the ground gave way.
And we try to tell people, stand a body length away from the edge at all times because the edge does give. There's no warning, it just gives. But they sat on the side of it with their legs dangling, holding their children.
The woman was transported to Clark Regional Medical Center and is being treated for possible broken ribs and a right ankle injury.
Kentucky's Attorney General says there have never been more scams operating in the Commonwealth and across the country than there are now. Democrat Andy Beshear sounded the warning during a stop today at the Round County Senior Citizen in Moorhead.
And so many of them are directed towards seniors. In 2015, seniors in the United States lost over $3 billion towards scams. And I get story after story, people coming up to me who have lost $100,000 in their retirement years. We've got to make sure that this doesn't happen, that folks who have worked hard to have a secure retirement have the one they deserve, that get to age with dignity.
Bashir is traveling around Kentucky with advice for seniors on how to handle suspected scams. He says they can be reported to the Elder Abuse Hotline at 1-877-ABUSE-TIP. The AG also says if you suspect that someone is trying to scam you on the phone, it's a good idea just to hang up.
State Representative Rocky Adkins believes the charter school bill approved during the 2017 Kentucky General Assembly is a setback to primary and secondary education. The Moorhead Democrat says the concept of charter schools is just a bad idea from the start.
I think charter schools for Kentucky is bad for public education. I think any time you set up a piece of legislation that basically moves public education dollars from the public classroom over to a charter school that can be run by a private for-profit corporation, I don't think that that's what public education is all about.
Adkins says the charter school bill may have been the first reform proposal to pass without bipartisan support during his three decades in the state legislature. He says not a single Democrat voted for the measure in the House or Senate.
Forums are scheduled next week for faculty and staff on the Moorhead State University campus to talk about options for eliminating a projected $2.5 million budget deficit in the next fiscal year. MSU President Dr. Wayne Andrews says the meetings will also include a discussion of Kentucky's new performance-based funding model for higher education. They'll take place April 17th at 2 p.m. and April 18th at 8 a.m. in Button Auditorium. Andrews says Moorhead State faces several challenges, including the need to boost enrollment while the population in its 22-county service region continues to decline.
A significant part of the enrollment issue for Moorhead State University is the out-migration in eastern Kentucky due to the downturn in the extractive industry. So, I mean, this is not a qualitative issue. It's not a competitive issue that we're not able to compete with our competitors. We're losing market share because of out-migration.
Andrew says he's asked each vice president to develop strategies to increase operating revenues or reduce operating costs by 3% of their division's total discretionary budget. However, he says the process is not final and he's encouraging input from all university employees.
A change made to an election law by state legislators during their 2017 session is getting a thumbs up from Rowan County's clerk. House Bill 319 permits local option elections, like those that deal with wet-dry issues, to be held simultaneously with primary and general elections. Those petitioning for a local option election will have to cover its cost if they want it held on a different day. According to Kim Davis, the change has the potential to save her county a lot of money.
Just depends on if it's city precincts that are involved, but then you have to have, you know, four precinct workers per precinct, and that's a cost, and then, you know, putting the machines out and printing the ballots and having them inspected. You know, it's a costly thing for just an average election. You know, it can run as high as anywhere from $50,000 to $60,000 on just a normal election.
House Bill 319 is now on Governor Bevin's desk, and he is expected to sign it.
Voters in the Lawrence County, Ohio town of Chesapeake will decide on a $1.5 million police levy in November. The village council last week acted on a request from Mayor Tommy Templeton to put the issue on the fall ballot to pay for new equipment for the police department. Voters rejected an identical issue in the November 2016 election.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is gearing up for another batch of work on Kentucky 519 in Rowan County. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says it'll happen just south of Moorhead and involve a few miles of the highway as it moves to its intersection with Route 801 on the other side of Clack Mountain. Blair says that part of 519 is in line to receive its final grade and its road bed will be built up. The road will be paved after those jobs are completed.
Once we start paving out there for the new road, we're going to be shifting traffic onto new sections of that highway. So it's going to be important for the next several months that people who travel through the 519, especially commuters and students, to check those signs and watch those signs and pay very careful attention because there are going to be some changes this year.
As part of the $10 million project, Kentucky 519 and its shoulders will be widened.
According to the Ironton Tribune, a nearly $700,000 marina project along the Ohio River in Ironton is nearly finished. The paper quotes an engineer for the development as saying the docks are now installed, but the gangway is not yet completed. It should be before summer. The docks can accommodate 30 boats up to 26 feet in length. The project is part of a larger initiative along Ironton's waterfront. It was funded by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources.
The city of Portsmouth will likely apply for a $250,000 grant from the Appalachian Regional Commission to replace a 30-inch water main from the Sunrise Reservoir. That's according to the Portsmouth Daily Times, which says the line has ruptured many times and forced streets to be torn up for repairs. The total cost of the project is estimated at $3.2 million. City Manager Derek Allen is asking City Council to authorize legislation calling for the grant application to be filed with the ARC.
The Eastern Kentucky Jail has been shut down, MSPR's Holly McClurkin reports.
According to the Lexington Herald Leader, the Estill County Jail was forced to close on March 31st due to safety problems, including a broken sprinkler system. Jailer Bo Morris wants to reopen the jail and plans to ask the fiscal court for the money for the repairs. He says he has laid off 6 employees due to the jail's closing. However, Judge Executive Wallace Taylor says the county's budget is tight and it doesn't have the extra funds. If repaired, the total cost to fix all of the issues at the jail would be around $7,000. Taylor believes there is no reason to reopen the jail immediately if he can arrange to get all of the county's prisoners housed in one location. Male inmates that were in the jail have been moved to facilities in Jackson, Clay, and Lee counties. Its female prisoners have been sent as far away as Casey County. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Holly McClurkin.
According to a Kentucky Health Issues poll, 12% of adults with children own loaded firearms. Kenzie Thompson has that story.
The Ashland Daily Independent reports that 59% of Kentucky homes with children have firearms in them, and 35% of those guns are unloaded. The American Academy of Pediatrics suggests that households with children should not keep firearms inside their homes, but if they do, they should keep those guns unloaded and locked away in a safe place. The poll notes that Kentucky is 13th in the nation for firearm deaths, with 15.2 deaths per 100,000 people. Ben Chandler, president and CEO of the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky, says gun safety is a public health issue. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Radcliffe Mayor Mike Weaver is calling for the creation of a public-private partnership to build a new veterans hospital in Kentucky. The story from Ed Huckleberry.
It's a disservice to veterans. That message from Radcliffe Mayor Mike Weaver on the lack of progress toward a new VA hospital in Kentucky. He wants the facility built in Radcliffe and not at the proposed site in Louisville.
It's the right thing to do. It's absolutely the right thing to do. And building this at Brownsboro Road is absolutely nuts. The place is too small. It's too crowded.
Weaver's putting together a public-private partnership to expedite construction and cut costs. I'm Ed Huckleberry.
Kentucky Power is doing a series of customer outreach workshops around its Eastern Kentucky service region. Allison Barker is a spokeswoman for the company. She says the event will provide Kentucky Power with a chance to go and meet customers where they live.
We are doing a series of customer outreach workshops, and in these workshops, we give customers the opportunity to come and meet with us one-on-one. They can get answers about tree trimming. They can talk to our customer service representative. They can talk to someone from regulatory, learn about our reliability and infrastructure investment.
Barker says there's further information about those workshops on the Kentucky Power website.
With Arbor Day fast approaching, Morehead State University celebrated its Spring Sustainability Day today by handing out tree seedlings to students outside of the Allie Young Hall. Seedlings like black gum, tulip poplar, and honey locust, which are among the top 10 trees that are best for pollinators. University Sustainability and Safety Specialist Holly Niehoff says since MSU became a designated bee campus 2 years ago, it's important to educate students on pollinator protection.
Bees and pollinators are really important to us, and trees are really important to us, and we want to do what we can to help preserve them. We had to work to come up with an integrated management plan for protecting the bees, so we're no longer using any sort of pesticides at the farm or on campus that would harm the pollinators.
Niehoff says there will be a spring trash cleanup at Lakeji this Friday, sponsored by Earthwise Eagles, a group that is dedicated to make MSU an environmentally sustainable campus. And taking a look at the local weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight mainly clear with lows around 57 degrees. Tuesday, cloudy skies during the morning hours, followed by thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 73 degrees. That chance of rain is at 80%. Tuesday night, thunderstorms during the evening, then cloudy skies overnight, lows around 53 degrees. That chance of rain is at 80%. And Wednesday, cloudy early, then becoming sunny in the afternoon, highs around 69 degrees. It is currently 82 degrees in Ashland, 79 degrees in Flemingsburg, 83 degrees in Inez, 80 degrees in Lexington, 79 in Winchester, and it's currently 81 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's great to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, Morehead State University is one of the few schools in the country to offer a peer-focused addiction recovery program. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The Simple Collegiate Recovery Community, or Simple CRC, at MSU is one of only 144 alike programs in the nation. It was spearheaded by MSU senior and peer recovery specialist Gene Detheridge. He began his education at Morehead in 2008, but his own struggle with substance abuse kept him from a timely graduation. After getting his life back on track through the Morehead Inspiration Center a few years ago, Detheridge made some plans.
Of course, one of my goals was to finish my program of study here at MSU, but a larger goal than that was to figure out a way that there could be some sort of early intervention so the next 18, 19, 20-year-old student who's in my shoes that has a drinking problem and can't seem to find a peer group that they can relate to would have an option.
With some help from a $10,000 grant from the nonprofit Transforming Youth Recovery, Morehead CRC launched last fall. Detheridge says the program's approach, on-campus support from peers, friends, and those who have experienced addictive disorders, is proven to have a greater effect on improving graduation and retention rates, overall GPA, and quality of life. He says the easy-to-reach assistance will make a difference.
You know, it would be my hope that they wouldn't have to go to the level of a bottom that I did to really face myself and deal with my problems.
Detheridge says the organization is important, as many college students need the help it will provide.
Given any population at any given university, 5 to 10% of the student body will either suffer from or develop some degree of chemical dependency or substance use disorder.
For the future, the program is making plans to train student and teacher allies, community members who are equipped to help friends or peers struggling with substance abuse. Morehead State's Collegiate Recovery Community holds meetings on Thursdays at 8 p.m. in Allie Young Hall. For more information, you can call 606-783-2055. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock and sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting Joe Sarter, Morehead Mind Games. On display through May 13th, the exhibition features 4 dozen of the artist's paintings, which draw inspiration from the people, places, and landscapes of the local area, including Morehead and Rowan County. Many of the works will be available for purchase. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
The Reds take on the Pirates in the Steel City. Good afternoon. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. The Cincinnati Reds opened a 3-game series in Pittsburgh with a 7:05 contest against the Pirates tonight. The Reds are coming off a successful weekend in St. Louis, where they took 2 of 3 games from the Cardinals. That, though, didn't come as a complete surprise to manager Brian Price.
Our team is better than it's been in the last few years, is my point. And, with a lot of new guys that don't, just come and want to play baseball and play hard and play well. And we got, you pitch two shutouts here. I mean, that's not only is it unlikely, but to come in here and be able to do it and extract two wins is just a big deal, for us in the early start of a season.
Want to know Brandon Finnegan will pitch tonight for the Reds. The Pirates will counter with 6'8", 220-pound rookie right-hander Tyler Glasnow. Taking a look at some scores in Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees defeated the Rays 8-1. The Red Sox fell to Detroit 2-1. Oakland right now is tied with Kansas City 0-0 at the top of the second inning. And finally, in the middle of the first inning, the Diamondbacks are tied with San Francisco 0-0. After a rough weekend at UT Martin, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire is telling his Eagles to turn the page. The last place team in the OVC, the Skyhawks, swept three games from McGuire's ball club on their home field, 1-0, 9-5, and 18-6.
I thought it was a weekend where we didn't catch many breaks. We didn't do enough to get enough breaks, but we didn't catch any either, that's for sure. And they, made every play and just outplayed us and kicked our butt this weekend.
The losses drop Morehead to 22-10 overall, 8-4 in conference. The Eagles will visit Marshall tomorrow at 3. And after dropping doubleheaders this weekend against SIU Edwardsville and Eastern Illinois, the Morehead State softball team will take a break from conference action and will host another twin bill tomorrow afternoon against Wright State. The first contest is slated for 2 p.m. and the second matchup is set for 4 p.m. The Eagles are 20-16 on the year and 3-7 in OVC play. The Raiders are 12-18 overall and 7-2 in Horizon League action. College basketball's spring signing period starts Wednesday, and new Morehead State coach Preston Spradlin wants the Eagles to be ready. Spradlin says he and his staff have been working to find recruits who can fill the several holes left in MSU's roster by graduation.
And all the things that we've been talking to and selling them on and informing them of throughout the year, now it's time to prove it to them when they come to campus. They got to get to meet the people who make this place so special. So that's where we're at right now, is scheduling those visits and getting them here and hopefully get some done before that signing period.
The Eagles picked up a commitment from a junior college player late last week. 6'7" forward Lundell King of Gulf Coast State College in Florida says he'll sign with MSU. King averaged 10 points and 6 rebounds a game last season while shooting almost 64% from the field. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure calls the Eagles' Saturday scrimmage spirited and competitive. The outing gave Tenure a chance to get a good look at two men vying to become his team's number one quarterback next fall.
I think Lawson Page really stood out, had a really good scrimmage, but he really showed some poise in the pocket this week, made some big passes. I think a couple third down throws that were really impressive. And then Jack Cherry did some nice things as well in the scrimmage, and those guys are competing for that spot.
Page is a redshirt sophomore, while Cherry is a redshirt junior. On the other side of the ball, Tenure says he was impressed by the efforts of several MSU's young defenders. He notes that all PFL defensive end Cole Briggs was all over the field making plays. The offensive coordinator for the Kentucky football team is not too pleased right now. Speaking after Saturday's two-hour scrimmage, Eddie Grant admitted to reporters that he was very disappointed with his group's performance.
They were awful. They practiced for an hour and a half. Unbelievably, they competed, they got after them for 1 hour and 30 minutes, but the last 20, they decided not to compete and they got their tail whipped.
Grant says his group is going to have to play harder and show more fire. The Wildcats will wrap up spring practices on Friday with their annual blue-white game at Commonwealth Stadium. And finally, for today in sports, the United States has launched its bid to co-host the 2026 World Cup with Mexico and Canada. The proposal for the first World Cup, with the field expanded from 32 to 48 teams, is that the U.S. would host all the games from the quarterfinals. The U.S. would get 60 games, while Mexico and Canada would have 10 each. No rival bid has emerged. That's a look at sports. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host SIU Edwardsville at 5 p.m. on Thursday and Friday and 1 p.m. on Saturday. Eagle Softball will host Belmont for a doubleheader at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Friday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed fractionally higher amid geopolitical tensions while investors looked ahead to the start of earnings season, although the broader market was stronger than the major indices. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 1.92 at 20,658.02. The S&P 500 was up 1.62 at 2357.16. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 3.11 at 5880.93. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. And energy was your big winner today among S&P 500 groups as the sector rose about 0.75% to lead all advancers. Energy stocks received a boost from oil prices, which rose 1.6%, settling at $53.08 a barrel after Libya's largest oil field was shut down. And oil prices have now rebounded more than 9% over the past month. Geopolitical tensions continue to weigh on the markets following the U.S. airstrike on a Syrian airfield late Thursday. And on Saturday, a U.S. official told Reuters that a U.S. Navy strike group will be moving close to the Korean Peninsula as a show of force. Overseas, European equities ended mostly flat, with the pan-European Stock 600 index closing just below break-even. In Asia, stocks closed mixed, with the Nikkei 225 rising 0.71% and the Shanghai Composite dropping only or about a half of a percent. And in the other commodities markets, gold was down 0.14%, finishing at $1,255.60 an ounce. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Caterpillar and Travelers, and the worst performers were Merck and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Whole Foods and Hess Corporation, and the worst performers were Advanced Micro Devices and Micron Technology. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.20 at $126.28, Marathon Petroleum up 11 cents at $50.13, CSX up 25 cents at $47.68, AK Steel down 62 cents at $7.03, AEP up 19 cents at $67.51, and Valvoline was down 19 cents to finish at $23.75. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday, catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
One last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly clear skies with lows around 57 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy skies during the morning hours, followed by thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 73 degrees. That chance of rain is at 80%. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms during the evening, then cloudy skies overnight, lows around 53 degrees, chance of rain is at 80%. Wednesday, cloudy early, then sunny in the afternoon, highs around 69 degrees. Wednesday night, clear with lows around 45 degrees. Thursday, partly cloudy skies, highs around 73 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy with showers developing during the night, lows around 53 degrees. That chance of rain is at 30%. And for your Friday, partly cloudy skies with highs around 76 degrees. Taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland is sitting at 82 degrees, Flemingsburg at 79, Inez at 83 degrees, Lexington at 80 degrees, Winchester at 79 degrees, and it's currently 81 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, Victoria Agee, and Holly McClurkin. From the Kentucky News Network, Ed Huckleberry. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.